Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
Live from Trackside, this is IMSA Radio.
Hello everybody and welcome to our live coverage from Daytona International Speedway. It's John Hinehoff and Jeremy Shaw in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Great to have your company. We are moving into another practice session. Remember that all of the qualifying has already been completed. This is free practice four. Overcast, still a little bit of drizzle coming and going, but not too bad. And as far as the weather's concerned, we did have a bit of sunshine this morning. As I was driving into the racetrack, I got quite excited about it. It's not that cold. It is a shorts and t-shirt sort of day. And next up, it's going to be free practice four for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship live here on IMSA Radio. 3, 2, 1.
The WeatherTech Sports Car Championship on IMSA Radio.
Well, good morning to you, Jeremy Shaw, and I hope you are feeling well rested. Not too long a day for us today, although we do have the 4-hour Michelin M Endurance for the Michelin Pilot Challenge to come, live in sound and vision here on imsaradio.com. That is your home for everything IMSA related from RSL. Another practice session, and I suspect lots more tyre scrubbing going on today.
Indeed, so shortened t-shirts. Oh, crikey, I'm not sure about that one. From a Californian, I'm not sure about that one. But hey, look, it's drier than it was, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And we're actually also almost see now the outline, vaguely, of some of the hotels on the beach.
On the coast, yeah.
Big improvement from yesterday. And you're right, most of the morning's been quite nice. Just a little bit of drizzle a little while ago. But I think pretty much all of the teams are looking forward to a dry session now. Many of them run very few laps this week. But even those who haven't run very many laps, they've got a lot of experience here already. So yeah, they're in good shape. It's really all the new teams that this inclement weather yesterday was more of a handicap for, because they need to get as much track time and data as they can to prepare for this 24-hour race tomorrow.
Joe Bradley is down in the pit lane for us. Good morning, Joseph. And looks like pretty much everybody's on the pit lane.
Yeah, because you know what? Without a morning warm-up tomorrow, this is effectively morning warm-up.
That's a good point.
Full systems check for in readiness for the race. This is going to be the last one-hour run that these teams have in these cars in preparation for the race start tomorrow. So it is important. And you know the old saying, mate, nothing ever comes good out of morning warm-up. Well, it's afternoon warm-up and the day before warm-up, isn't it, for this lot?
Andrew Marriott also with us for this session. It'll be plenty of interviews as well. There's still one or two people, of course there are, in a 61 car field that we haven't talked to. Thinking about yesterday, Andrew, a little bit disappointing for some of the teams. I know you've been in the paddock this morning that they didn't quite get all their work done. Good morning,
well,
by the way.
Well, absolutely. With that weather, it's just ridiculous. Everyone's saying, what a crazy day. And, you know, every moment you thought it was going to dry up, then it got wet again. So, actually, I'm down in the Aston Martin pit, and I'm looking at John Gore. I'm going to say, happy birthday, John Gore, I think. Yes, it's your birthday today, boss of Aston Martin.
John Gore, formerly the head of Aston Martin Racing, when it was... being run out of Pro Drive, a very good Ferrari racer himself as well, back down through the earth. Just a little bit of a clarification from something that you'll have seen reported all the way through the early part of the week, and put our hands up as well. We repeated the errors that others did as well. David Pittard is not an Aston Martin Works driver. He's been engaged by Northeast AMR to drive for that. It's still a great appointment for David, but Aston Martin Racing just wanting to make that that distinction over the last couple of days. 97 WeatherTech AMG stuck in the middle lane of the pit lane at the moment as the cars are flooding out around it. It has refires. The V8 is powering it forward as Joe Bradley can say good morning to Guido van der Garde.
Yeah, car 29, the racing team Netherlands. Guido, I've just mentioned that this is effectively morning warm-up for you guys.
Yeah, it's a warm-up, yeah, but we will not do a lot of running. Just see how the car feels, if everything is okay for the race for tomorrow. Obviously, we lost quite some running yesterday, some time, but the car feels quite good. I'm happy with where the team stands at the moment. Obviously, we have two new teammates this year compared to last year, but I feel strong.
And Rinus, single-seater driver, we know him very well. How's he kind of moulding into the team, so to speak?
Yeah, very nice guy. Obviously, we knew him already for a long time. He's doing well in America. He's been racing for a couple of years here now. He was here last year with a different team, but he's dialing in very good with the team, working very well with the teammates, so I'm happy he's here.
Does having a young, let's call him a hotshot driver, Guido, you're very experienced, does that push you as a driver, you know, with your experience? Does that give you motivation to try and keep up with the quick younger boys coming in?
Yeah, of course. No, he's doing well, you know. Every time when he jumps in the car, he's quick. He's still learning how the car has to handle and the way you have to drive with it. But I have to say, he's doing a very good job, and of course, keeps me also motivated. Yeah, when a young guy is coming in, he's quick, he's fast. You keep on pushing yourself as well. But I'm happy where we are at the moment.
Great stuff. I noticed you're not in any race gear, so you're not going to be out in this session at all.
No, we will do a couple of laps just to see how the car is, if everything is fine for the race tomorrow, and Rinus will do that, and the rest of the boys will sit this one out.
Thank you, Guido.
Joe Bradley down in the pit lane with Andrew Marriott. We'll hear more from those two later on. Just an hour's worth of running here, Jeremy, and I suspect there's still quite a lot of work to do, actually, after the weather yesterday.
Yeah, there certainly is, I think, for quite a few of the teams. Yeah, the ones that have been here and got lots of experience here, yeah, not so much, certainly, and they will be treating it as if it was just a warm-up, even though it's a longer session than that. But there's certainly quite a few teams out there who don't have a lot of experience here for whom this will be very useful. Just going back to what Andrew Marriott's saying there, we're wishing John Gore a happy birthday. Happy birthday also today to Tommy Milner. He's celebrating a birthday, one of the drivers in the number 4 Chevrolet Corvette. Birthday yesterday also for Alex Riberas in number 23 Aston Martin. And also with the Aston Martin thing, the aforementioned David Pittard, he's got a birthday tomorrow as well.
Let's go to Andrew with Jerome Blakemolen.
Yes, I am. Jerome's just walked into the garage here with Black Swan Racing Tyrone and back in a Porsche.
Yeah, it feels very familiar. It's a lot of fun to be back with James and his team and Kyle and GMG. I've raced quite a bit with James before in the past. Actually, 10 years ago we did this race together. It's a great car. I've known it for a couple of years and we're really looking forward to the race.
And how difficult is it to switch from a Porsche to a Mercedes and back again? Is it, have you done?
Yeah, it's not too bad. I think all the GT3 cars are quite close now in terms of how you drive them, which is kind of funny and cool. So it's not too hard. It might be more difficult now to jump from the GT4 to the GT3 because there's quite a bit difference in aero and power. But it's okay. I've been doing it for a long time.
You certainly have. Hoping to go back to Le Mans this year?
I hope so. I had a great run last year with Rinaldi in the Ferrari, and we hope to be back, but we don't know what's going to happen yet with all these entries now, because the field is full. There's so many interests to do Le Mans from not just GT, but obviously also the new class, so it's going to be busy there.
The GT3 taking off, but we just heard the news this morning that Ford are coming back officially into GT3. I don't know if you heard that.
I haven't seen that yet, but that's amazing news. Obviously, I drove the car at Le Mans, and it was such a cool program car, and people were great to work with. So who knows? I might end up in one again.
Let's hope so. Jerome Blinkenmolen, folks, thank you very much.
Double duty for Jerome this weekend. GMG in the WSC and in the Michelin Pilot Challenge Black Swan Racing, the black and green 540. Windscreen wiper going not full blast, but certainly insistently. It's not on the part-time wipe for the class leading Origa of Colton Herter in the number 81. Great to see Colton back here. And that was a car that, I think rather unfairly, it's so bright, it's easy just to see it all the time. This is the number 81 Dragon Speed USA car. And in the gloom yesterday, it was the car that we saw off the circuit that was easiest to identify. I don't think they had any more difficulty and were off track any more than anyone else, but it did rather stand out in the gloom. So difficult yesterday. Pete Durrani's gone out in the number 31 Whelan Cadillac. Ricky Taylor has taken the Acura of Conica Minolta Racing out. First and second for those two, 1:44.2. Lap times yesterday, of course, bearing no resemblance to what we would have expected. Just a moment or two ago, down into turn one, the number 14 Lexus. That's the pro car with Jack Hawksworth on board. Just missing his braking point going into turn one. Wonder if he was distracted. He was being passed by a prototype as he went down to turn one. He's back at the scene of the incident now as he comes through to complete another lap just under our feet. Heads down to turn one. He's on the brakes, down through the gearbox. Turns in. Yeah, he's made it easily this time. Still looks a bit tricky out there, Jeremy, particularly on slick tyres.
It's not warm out there. It's comfortable temperatures, but it's certainly going to take a lap or so to build some heat into the Michelin tyres. And with a little bit of baby drizzle here and there as well, it makes it certainly pretty tricky out there for the first few laps in particular. And that's something the drivers will need to pay attention to. Pit lane penalty there for a pit speed violation, plus 5 kilometres an hour drive-through penalty. That's car number 33. It's one of the LMP3 cars. So who's driving that car at the moment? Don't know. It's a long way down the order right now, it seems like, but that's another thing. I'm surprised. Joao Bosa, actually, so one of the most experienced drivers at the wheel of that car. But again, that's another thing that the teams will have to work on. Make sure when they all have a pit lane speed limiter button on the steering wheel, they press that and the speed of the car is electronically controlled to a maximum that is set by the team. It needs to be calibrated properly to make sure you don't exceed that. We saw, who was it at the weekend? I think they had 2 penalties for 1 mile an hour over. I can't remember who it was. Was it Corvetta? I forget, but it was 2 penalties, just one kilometre over. It's kilometres, isn't it?
And everybody pushes the limit.
Of course.
So if IMSA were to say, well, do you know what? We'll give you 2 kilometres over the 40.
Which they won't.
But if they did, everybody would set this to 42.
Indeed.
They wouldn't set it to 40, they'd set it to 42.
Yeah.
You know, that absolutely set it to 42. Yeah. So that's why you might think, what is the point of 1 kilometre giving them a limit violation? That's why. Because if you don't, a plus five.
My point. Plus one, that's okay, that's probably possibly a calibration. But plus five, either you got in too late, you were too fast coming into the pit lane those first maybe 100 metres or so, where you haven't quite got the car down to the speed limit by the time at which you're supposed to, which is where those cones are on the entrance to pit lane, or a mistake.
I'm down at STM with a lot of fine young drivers in this team, and I'm with Marty Jakobsen, who of course remember racing last season in the ELMS with Cool Racing.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be here at Daytona. My first time here at the track and my first 24-hour race as well, so it will be a lot of fun.
Now, What is it about Denmark that you produce so many good racing drivers? Obviously, Tom Christensen, but so many Danish racing drivers over the years.
Yeah, I don't really know why the Danes are so good in endurance racing, especially. And there's a lot of Danish drivers here as well this weekend, so I'm really happy for the country that we represent ourselves so well.
What's your future this coming season? Are you going to stay here in America, or are you going to do the ELMS again?
Yes, so I'm signed up with Cool Racing for ELMS and the Michelin Le Mans Cup, and then hopefully I can do the Endurance Cup here in IMSA.
And you're looking to win the ELMS, I think. You're going to be in the front of the ELMS.
Yeah, that's the plan. For me, I think I've showed I have the speed now, but I haven't won any championships up until now in LMP3. So the goal for me is to get a championship.
Absolutely. Great to talk to you. Another cool Dane here. Over to you, Joe Bradley.
Wynn Taylor, spotting yesterday, Wynn. What have you found out in the last couple of days that you can take into the race this weekend?
Really nothing.
Oh, really?
No, we have had no dry running, so we're working purely on data and driver feedback. Today is actually, I think, the first day that we actually put slicks on, which we need to do because there's a couple of things that we wanted to check before the race. But it's going to be pretty tough on everybody, considering the weather conditions. You know, forget the rain, the cold during the night, 30 degrees, is going to be very, very, very hard for the drivers.
What weather forecast are you seeing?
I was listening to the Orlando, where I live, the temperatures overnight are going to be 30 degrees, and I know in Daytona it's normally 2 degrees colder.
Oh, really? So I've heard the clouds going to disappear, going to have clear skies, which means colder.
Very cool.
So everyone's in the same boat. Is it a good level of the fact that everyone's going to go into this race with very little data for the conditions that are going to prevail?
Yeah, I mean, it sort of levels out the playing field quite a lot. And you ultimately need to focus and execute on every single thing perfectly to try and be up front in the last 2 hours.
Surely, though, Wynn, you've got a bit of an advantage there. I mean, you've been in this business so long. Is there anything that you can take from your years of experience going into this situation?
Well, the only thing we can take is we have the same team that are really spectacular guys, and we got really good drivers. Three of them have won the race with us a year ago. So I think overall, you know, these guys that are with me have been here for a long time. So I think that kind of, with them, I think is what gives us that little bit more than most.
And there's a chance to increase, you know, be part of the record books here again, as ever. But is that do you even think about that going into a weekend like this?
No, honestly not. There's so many other things to think about, and and if you fixate yourself on that, you sort of get sidelined and not look at the problems that are arising right now. So we just know that when the green flag drops, we're going to try and race for the win.
Thank you, Joe. Joe Bradley with Wynn Taylor down on the pit lane. Time's coming in, Jeremy, and, you know, first dry-ish running of the weekend. What are the times looking like, and how do they compare to what we've seen in the past?
Well, yeah, to yesterday, good, because the fastest time of all set yesterday was by Kamui Kobayashi, did a 135.470. Not quite down to that yet. That was the one brief session. It was the second session, I think, the beginning of it, wasn't it? That we saw, you know, a few good laps in there, but really there was only two cars that lapped below 1:37. The fastest lap in this session so far is Pippo Durrani, 136.811. He's just set. Like I say, only two cars faster than that yesterday. And of the 236 drivers that will be competing, or scheduled to compete, in this year's 60th Rolex 24 at Daytona. Only 190 of them did any laps at all yesterday. So that means 46 drivers didn't get out at all during that first day of official practice yesterday. The good news is pretty much all of them did run at the Roar test last week, so they have some laps around here. But you know, there's quite a few people here who would like a lot more laps under their belts than they do have at the moment. And as we heard already, a lot of the time, I think, during this session is going to be kind of scrubbing in tyres particularly to get ready for the long race.
44 minutes still to go. Down to the back straight bus stop chicane for the Mustang sampling number 5. It's one of the Cadillacs, and it's Sebastian Bourdais. No, it's not. It's Richard Westbrook in that at the moment. By the way, for any, if you're following any cars lower than 41st, probably best to go and find some live timing for it, because that's where our screen goes down to. So the bottom 20 not available to us at the moment. So Pete Modirani ahead of Richard Westbrook. Ricky Taylor's just improved to third position there, Jeremy. Was that a 138.295 last time around for Taylor?
Indeed so, and we've now got 5 of the 7 DPI cars have set a representative lap time during this session. That's the first time we can say that in any of the sessions since beginning yesterday morning, so that's certainly a step in the right direction. New fastest time from Sebastian Bourdais last time around eclipsed Durrani's 136.8 with a 136.199. That's a new benchmark then at the moment for Sebastian Bourdais. Just to put that into perspective, the race lap record in DPI is a 1:34.5. So the second half and more quicker than we've gone so far right now. That was set by Felipe Nasr back in 2019. The fastest lap in last year's race, 134.6 for Renger van der Zende. So it's the Cadillacs that have set the pace in the race in a recent couple of years. But the qualifying lap record was set by Oliver Jarvis back in 2019, down in the 33s, 133.6. We're not going to see lap times close to that, I don't think, tomorrow. But I certainly would expect to see times in the 34s at some stage during the race.
Just picking up some of the class leaders. It's Colton Hurtner in the Dragon Speed 81 for LMP2. And he's 6th quickest overall. For GTD Pro, Lexus, number 14, Jack Hawksworth, ahead of Matteo Cairoli for the 79 WeatherTech Porsche in the number 2 Porsche in 3rd position. For GTD, and they are behind the GTD Pros here, Michael Di Casada in the 28, yes it is, AMG GT3. That's the silver, white, and very bright yellow. Bit of a sort of dark red on there as well. The LMP3s that don't seem to have come out to play today. No. Only one on the timing screen, and that is... there's a couple of the Duquesnes are out. Phil Hansen and Murray Krantz for 7th and 8th position.
Yeah, it's been a recurring theme that it seems during this during the sessions yesterday. We didn't see many LMP3 cars out there. Did speak to a few of the teams this morning though, and in particular the Riley Motorsports car number 74. That's the car that won this race last season, also went on to win the season-long championship, which this is not a round. For LMP2 and LMP3, the Rolex 24 is just around the Michelin Endurance Cup, which consists of the four long-distance races. So this does not count to the regular season championship. But speaking to Gar Robinson, they were running well in the qualifying race last weekend, but dropped out early. We suggested that might be planned. They know the car's working well. They didn't need to. But in fact, there was a problem on the car. He did experience a vibration at number 74 car, brought it into the pit lane, and they diagnosed it as a potential problem in the gearbox. So they fixed that for the race, and so that car is now running well.
Chip Ganassi. Chip, here we are at Daytona once again, but I've got to say it's a little bit different from my experience. Cloudy skies, rainy weather, and below freezing conditions coming. What's your thoughts going into the weekend, apart from needing a warm jumper?
Well, I'll tell you, it's going to be interesting. I'm not sure we've ever raced in those temperatures, so it's certainly going to hand the engineers some calculations they've never done before. You know, you got to look at the engines, you got to look at the engine temperature, the tire temperature. It's going to make it interesting for sure.
Daytona is always intriguing. It's like a high-speed game of chess. You've once again got a cracking driver lineup. It's hard to see if there is any kind of chink in the armor there. Once again, you've got to be thinking about the overall win if you even can, Chip.
Well, right now we're just thinking, you know, like, we just want to make sure we have a consistent car that can make it through, you know, 23 hours, and let's get to the last stop and see what happens then.
Chip, what's your thoughts on the announcement of the rebranding of the class as GTP?
You know, I think it's good. I think, you know, the world needs less classes, and, you know, some consolidation certainly is a good thing. You know, obviously everybody's excited about the moving forward, you know, with IMSA, you know, with rules that coincide with in Europe. I think you're going to see some participation over here, more cross participation across back and forth across the Atlantic, which I think is a great thing. And really, we're on the doorstep of I think a renaissance period in sports cars.
I can't disagree with you, Chip. Great to talk to you. I'll leave you to your job. Thanks, man.
Chip Ganassi and the Cadillac program moving forward as well into that new GTP era. If you didn't pick that up yesterday, one of a number of announcements from IMSA, they've acquired HSR, the Historic Racing, Historic Sports Car Racing Association. Already had a partnership with them for some of the major events, particularly here at Daytona and down at Sebring. And the top class next year, which will be eligible for LMH and LMDH cars, they'll be running for the GTP, the combined GTP title. As yet, we've yet to see any of the new cars being submitted for homologation. Furthest along, from what we understand from the LMDH side, is the Porsche. It's been doing some PR runs at Weissach. Of course, the Toyota has already run for a season, as has the Glickenhaus, but neither of those two concerns have submitted their cars for homologation to IMSA up at Windshear, the full-size tunnel. We've got some great GTPs here, which will be on the track tomorrow. Jeremy, you'll remember some of these cars that we'll see in the parade tomorrow. Tim Pendergast's done a cracking job selecting and identifying some absolutely phenomenal machineries that we'll see in the 60th anniversary parade tomorrow morning.
Yeah, pretty cool. And you know, the first race I saw here was won by a Porsche 935, and there's a an example of that down there in that collection as well. Yeah, some super cool cars here, lots of history, and yeah, lots of people who were involved in that era, yeah, still wandering around the paddock here as well, involved in many different ways. Actually, talking to Rich in the Michelin Pilot Challenge race this afternoon, Brian Herta Autosport is going to be running six, no fewer than, Hyundai Elantra NTCR cars in that race this afternoon. And they're, one of their chief engineers, he retired at the end of the 2020 season, but he's back again now. It's John Ward, and he was responsible for the design of the of Dan Gurney's Eagle Mark III, one of the legendary cars in GTP era. So he's certainly excited to see that name back again.
Just when I thought I was out, you dragged me back in.
Yeah, he was happily retired, but he got a call from Brian Herter towards the end last year. So Brian said, look, I'm running six cars this season, need some help again. And as John said, hey, how can you say no to Brian Herter?
Can't say no. Brian's such a lovely bloke. Yeah, exactly. And you know it's going to be a... The other thing is, he's not wasting his time, because he knows it's going to be a proper programme. He's going to be properly resourced. And, you know, nobody likes to go and do anything to make up the numbers. No matter what their remuneration is, all of these people are competitors.
Yeah, but he does now have a rental car of his own, so he can leave the track to get to the airport when he needs to leave. So.
I like that. Very good. Bit of Aston action down at the International Horseshoe. 44 Magnus coming to the Aston Fold for 2022. Heart of Racing, one of the foremost teams for Aston in the USA over the last couple of years, raising money for Seattle Children's Hospital as well. Over $10 million raised by the team over the last few years, hence the heart in the Heart of Racing, the specialist children's unit for cardiac care.
And that team, well, it's got various sort of bases, but Ian James is the team principal. He's based in Phoenix, which is where they run their GT4 cars in another series in North America. But the GT3 cars are run out of the Orlando area down Sanford, so not too far from here. Uh-huh. So this is pretty much a home race for that Heart of Racing team, running two cars this season, one in pro and one in the regular GTD. So, yeah, they've ramped up that program over the course last year, and they've got big plans for the future as well.
Tower Events, Tower Motorsports, number 8 car. That's the very tangerine black and white car. Just take the shortcut at the western end of the racetrack. And back up to speed now. I have a feeling that Johnny Palmer will take to that. He's a Blackpool Football Club supporter. They're running very bright orange. They're playing very bright orange. They are the tangerine team. So he'll be taken to that one over the weekend. Bruce Jones and JP joining in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre for some shifts in the main race. 60th anniversary running of America's great race, which is moored into the greenery in front of us. And this event once again attracting the cream of sports car and endurance teams from all over the world, including from Yorkshire. And Andrew Marriott has invaded the little bit of Yorkshire on the pit lane that is United Autosport.
Yeah, but I'm with the Texan driver, and he's not a Yorkshireman. Texan driver, bit of a, and Will Owen is down here. So just the car, 22. The wonderful sound of the Gibson V8 engine driving the car down the pit lane. Will, we haven't seen you for a couple of years. But great to have you back. Great to have you back racing.
Yeah, it's awesome to be back. I'm so excited for the race tomorrow. The break was really good, but I'm so happy to be back. And the rain is not ideal right now, but hopefully it's going to be dry this weekend.
You had some great runs at Le Mans. Are you hoping to go back to Le Mans?
Absolutely, yes. It's part of the plan this year. I'm doing WEC in the 22 car with United, with Philippe and Phil. So, yeah, that's kind of top priority right now, is thinking about that. Well, right now this race, but Le Mans is on my mind. I'm really going for this year.
And of course, you're very much part of the United family, aren't you? I mean, as a young kid from single-seater races, and United showed you how to go sports car racing.
Yeah, I wouldn't have really, you know, coming back to United felt like the right move. You know, it's just, I trust these guys. I know they've got a great car. They have such a great track record in European and American racing. So it does feel like I'm coming home. You know, when I first walked into the garage, it was like, I remember this. I remember all these people. It was really awesome.
Why weren't you racing for 2 years? Was there a reason for that?
Well, so I took a year off to just to work and get a new perspective. I worked at an AI company called Valkyrie, and I actually learned a lot of new stuff that I think it actually helped me in racing, even though it wasn't really related. You know, just learning a new skill helped. So I got a break. I have a lot of energy now, and I can't wait to drive. So, yeah, it's
fantastic to have you back. Will Owen, that is.
Tom Gamble, the number 27 Heart of Racing Aston Martin. We've just been talking about the Heart of Racing team. Tom, I've got to say, mate, it's when I come to meet you here, I feel really old, because I remember you in karts and Janetta Juniors, and anyway, I'm actually looking up at you. You're so much taller than last time I saw you. First time here at Daytona, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's been a really cool week so far. Obviously, the weather's not been so great, but fingers crossed now we'll get some dry running. And obviously, the race is supposed to be super cold, so it's, yeah, there's a lot of different testing going off, you know, trying to find the perfect setup for the race. And yeah, I'm really enjoying it so far. We had a bit of a nightmare in the race on Sunday, but, you know, it's a long race and a lot can happen. So, yeah, really excited for it.
It's just started raining again. Darren Turner is out in the car. We know Darren's got a lot of experience, especially around Aston Martins. It must be fabulous for a young driver like yourself to be working with someone like Darren.
Yeah, it's really cool. Obviously, Darren's really experienced. You know, he's done the race before. And, you know, it's great to learn from him, you know, whether it's, you know, his on-track stuff or the way he feeds back about the setup. It's really cool to have someone there to learn off. And, you know, the Heart of Racing running two cars as well, which is great for them. So, yeah, learning off all the different drivers in the 23 car as well, which is great. So, yeah, really having a great time.
On the human side of things, Tom, what sort of things is Darren telling you with regards to your race prep? And I would imagine getting some sleep during the night, which is a hard thing to do when you're so pumped.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's he's done it all before, so yeah, I've got to go now.
Yeah, you are
on track, but yeah, it's great. It's great to be here. I'm really enjoying it.
Great, Tom. I'll let you go. You've just had the signal to grab your helmet and get ready to get in the car. Tom Gamble there.
Both Heart of Racing Astons were in at the same time for a minute or so there. Just again underlining how tight it is in the pit lane. They had to be shuffled around on the dolly jacks. Just the one car left. Joe, you're still down there. Who was that in the car that's still down on the pit lane?
I'm not sure. Were you asking about the Heart of Racing car?
The car that's still there. Who?
I can't see from the back. I've got Johnny O'Connell, though.
Oh.
Worth talking to Johnny O'Connell as ever. Johnny, you've come to me. I've bumped into you. I haven't got a chance to chat, so we're going to go live.
It was Darren Turner, of course it was. You mentioned him.
Yeah,
I apologise. Yeah.
Johnny, announcement yesterday about rebranding the class to GTP. What's your thoughts?
You know what it is? Well, first off, it's great to be down here to see so many friends. I think it speaks volumes to the job everybody at IMSA is doing. And what a competitive field. I'm not going to weigh in on that because, you know what, here's the deal. Next year, I finally will be rated a bronze driver.
Yay!
Oh, yeah, which is the silliest thing that you're cheering for a lower rating. But so hopefully next year they have everything sorted out, and I find myself back here once again, man. Daytona is special. This weekend's going to be incredibly challenging for the guys with the temperature. So I'm jealous of everybody and wish I was out there.
But I know it's crazy, Johnny O'Connell, a bronze driver, but that gives you a lot of value, and that's what you mean, Johnny. It means it opens doors to get your backside back into a race seat.
Well, you know, it was real interesting. I think it was an interview with Montoya last year about Le Mans, and I do plan on doing Le Mans again, but he was like, he made the statement, it's impossible to find a fast bronze. Yeah. And so I'd like to think I'd be an angry, fast bronze and, you know, again, be here. Everybody knows I love Sebring, but get back to France.
So is that class as an exclusive then? Johnny O'Connell, Battle of Le Mans, can that be the headline?
Well, that's what I'm hoping for. You know what? I write the French letters all the time. I'm down on my knees praying and begging. So yeah, well, and you really need that bronze rating to get back there. So, you know, I'm still so passionate about this sport, and I still do a ton of driving. So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back out there.
Well, Davide Rigo just got away from me. He's climbed up on the first bar. I've got Alessandro Guidi here. Can I just grab a quick interview with you? Final session here. Can you learn much now in this last hour? Because even now, the weather keeps changing.
It's quite tricky with this weather. We are trying to set up the car properly for the race. But to be honest, the last three practice was quite useless. This one is the only one almost dry. We expect a dry race, so we try to squeeze all the best from this session.
Obviously, it's a very tough category, this, and Ferrari haven't had the best of results at Daytona over the years. I mean, obviously, there has been recent victories here, but it was a while ago.
Yeah, we try for sure. To be honest, we are all looks in a good shape. I think many cars quicker than us at the moment, but the race is so long, everything can happen. And with a field like this, stay out of trouble will be the key of the race.
And also, of course, the WEC champion, you must be looking forward to a new season of WEC.
Yeah, that's super good. We did an incredible season last year.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, and we try to have another good season even this year. But at the end, every season we start from zero, so we have to show again our performance, and looking forward to doing that.
Thanks very much. I'm sure he'll do that.
How long ago was that then, Jeremy, for Ricci?
They won the race only once, surprisingly, back in 2002. And back then it was in a prototype car, an SRP2 car, in fact.
No.
Yeah, incredible. Just a quick spin there for Sebastian Bourdais in turn two with the scoring system showed. I didn't see it on screen, but he's shown having spun. He has been the fastest man in this session. Talked about earlier on, we should see times down into 34s. Indeed, a 34.949, the fastest lap of this session by the number 01 car for Cadillac Racing with Chip Ganassi's team. That fastest, 34.9. 35.9, second fastest, is the number 31 Wheel and Engineering Cadillac of Pipo Durrani earlier in this session. Third fastest is the second of the Ganassi cars, 02 for Earl Bamber, 136.2. And then that Cadillac theme continuing with the number 48 car next up in fourth position, that time set by Mike Rockenfeller. And the number 5 car for Mustang Sampling Racing with JDC, that's Richard Westbrook, who set that time to be fifth quickest. The two Acuras then, sixth and seventh in this session, the best lap time for them down in the 37. So I don't think that they're not worried about pace at the moment, probably just scrubbing things in and getting ready for the race tomorrow.
Yeah, down at BMW Team RLL with Jesse Krohn. Jesse, can I just, you come off doing a couple of emails there. How's the new BMW? Making progress? You're learning stuff all the time?
Yeah, every time we go on track, we try to improve the car. Obviously, the last 2 days haven't been easy regarding the weather. I think we want a little bit more dry running. But yeah, we're learning and the car is improving.
I mean, you're almost an American now, Jesse. You race over here mainly.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, this is going to be my last race here with RLL this year. I'm going to be racing more in Europe. But yeah, it's been a good 4 years with the team.
Thanks very much. Another flying fin there, Jesse Krohn.
Yeah, very quick. Very quick indeed. 20 minutes to go of this final free practice session. Grid was set last weekend. If you want all the details, go to imsa.com. And if you want the archive of Shea's preview shows, all the action from the Raw last weekend, including that qualifying run, that 100-minute qualifying event, it's all on imsaradio.com. Let's keep on going down in the pit lane as this is a non-competitive session. We'll keep up to date with the times in a minute, but Andrew has now found Matt McMurray.
Yeah, Matt McMurray, of course, in his civvies, not driving this weekend, Matt. That's a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah, it's a bit of a disappointment. I'm here in case anyone needs a backup. Just here in case someone needs a backup.
And what about this coming season, then?
I'm still looking for... I hope to stay with Acura and find an NSX drive here, either an SRO again or back here. There's sounds like there's a couple of Acuras coming back to IMSA, which would be great to see. So looking at all those options and LMP2 as well.
So making a lot of phone calls and keeping your face in the picture.
Yeah, exactly. Just saying hi to everybody, keeping my name fresh in everybody's memory.
Always the youngest man at Le Mans, though.
Sorry?
Always the youngest man to race at Le Mans.
Yeah, Josh Pearson's here this weekend, who's, I think, trying to break my record. So I need to say hi to him, and I wish him good luck. But you know, it's still my record, and I would not excited about it, but I'm not wishing him well. Good luck on everything.
Great to see Matt Murray. Let's hope you get that drive, Matt. Keep sending them the text.
Yeah, Josh Pearson set to be at Le Mans for United Autosport this year. And if he does take part, he will become the youngest driver to have taken part in that great endurance race. Currently scheduled for a more normal June slot, right in the middle of June, the weekend before the solstice and the longest daylight day, with the practice day, the test day, Le Mans test day, the Sunday before. So compacted again into just a single week of running with no time between them. And then I think that worked really well, and that's something from COVID. And of course we'll have full coverage of that for you. Still the only broadcasters to bring you test day coverage. And that will be live over on RS1 Haggerty Radio Le Mans from the second weekend in June, if memory serves. Part of the Radio Show Limited network of channels, of which RS2 IMSA Radio is one. Jeremy, you're staring at your notes. What have you gleaned?
Yeah, no, just talking about Josh Pearson, who's driving with the number 11 team for PR1 Matheson Motorsports, along with Stephen Thomas, Jonathan Bomarito and Harry Ticknell. So a pretty star-studded lineup. And that team, Josh Pearson, he doesn't turn 16 until February the 14th. Not quite sure how he's managed to get a license. He's got a dispensation to race here this weekend. You're supposed to be 16. That's normally the rule for minimum for him. So, but I think there's a bit of not sure what happened there. But anyhow, he's got a waiver to drive here, and the youngest driver to compete also then here. Not sure that's a record. Would be too worried about. The youngest winner is a completely different thing altogether, of course. Josh Pearson, he's shown well in the last year or two in the USF 2000 Championship. There's first step on the road to Indy, but he's stepping up into prototypes this season. His main program is going to be in Europe with the United Autosports team.
So, Guy Smith, you're in the number 22 United Autosport. I've got to say, I've been watching your body language, mate, and you're like a caged tiger. Can you keep still? You've got the headset on, just to let the listeners know. You've got the headset on. You're obviously listening to what the engineer and the driver, who was Phil Hansen, has just brought the car in. So what's going on? What is this what you're normally like before you get in the car?
Yeah, just full of energy. I might be an old man, but I've still got a lot of energy. So, just listening to what Phil has to say. You know, I think like all the teams, the weather's been quite frustrating with these constant showers, and we're a little bit behind the game, so we really wanted to get some laps in this today to get a feel for the car, which Phil was able to do, so that was good. So I was really listening to what he had to say, and having a walk around, getting some steps in, all good.
When you say behind, what exactly does that mean? What do you mean?
Well, I just feel that, you know, obviously we've not raced here before with this Orica. United haven't anyway, so we arrive here with a best guest setup. Quite a lot of the teams have been here previously, so they're starting from they've kind of done all the homework. They know the ride heights, the wing levels, etc. We're still experimenting, trying to find that ultimate setup. We're not a million miles away, but obviously now this is the final session before the race, so we want to make sure that, you know, we've got the best car going into the race. Not necessarily the fastest, but the most consistent car. And it sounds like we're making some good progress. So, you know, we've got some information which we can look at tonight and then make a final decision on the race balance for tomorrow.
Bit of a voyage of discovery for everyone. The weather's going to change massively. Cloud cover's going to lift, going to be cold. Is that sort of a bit of a guessing game you've just described there?
It is. I mean, obviously, it looks like the race is going to be dry, which is positive, but equally it's going to be cold. So that in itself presents a lot of challenges, particularly on those early laps on cold tyres. And also on restarts, because the tyres automatically cool down. And the Michelin tyre is a fantastic tyre, but they don't like heat cycles. So every time they cool down, they just take that little bit longer to get back up to working temperature. So it's going to be an issue in the night, but it's obviously the same for everybody. We've just got to be mindful of that and make sure we don't make any mistakes.
Well, from a man who won Le Mans to a man who's finished second Le Mans, and with Ollie Jarvis down in the Mayer Shank Racing. Ollie, a new program for you, a new team, and an excellent place to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a big change from last year. Lots to learn from my side, but really excited for the year ahead. And, you know, it's great to be back here in Daytona.
What about traveling back and forwards to America? You cope with that?
Yeah, I enjoy it, actually. It's not a problem. You get used to the being sat on a plane and jet lag. I seem to deal with it okay. So more than happy to travel back and forward.
You're happy with the Acura the way it is at the moment?
Yeah, we were hoping to get a bit more dry running, same as everyone. So I think we've got a few tweaks to make ahead of the race. Hopefully we can get back out in this session and get some dry laps. But I think we've got a reasonable race car. The caddies look very quick. But as we know here in Daytona, you know, you've got to stay on, stay out of trouble, and you're always in with a chance.
And of course, Shank hoping to win the race after a period of 10 years.
Yeah, wouldn't it be perfect? 10-year gap since their last win. It would be amazing if we could repeat that success, but there's a lot of strong competition out there.
Ollie, thanks, and thanks for coming down the ladder for me.
Thank you very much.
Andrew Marriott and Joe Bradley before that in the pit lane. Ollie Jarvis, one of the most versatile drivers in the paddock, and great to see him back in gainful employment. Superb development driver. I wonder if there might be a role for him with this new GT3. Did a lot of the development for the Audi R8 GT3 when he was an Audi factory driver. If you missed it, new Ford GT3 Mustang, which is coming next year.
The GT3 car for 24.
Okay, yeah. Right, okay.
New GT4, so for the new regs. Updated GT4 car for next year.
Right.
And GT3 in 24, when they'll be running, it'll be customer cars available, and they'll be running a two-car pro team as well.
Now, there's a big change this year in the GT ranks. No GT Le Mans cars in IMSA competition. What we call GT Pro and GTD. Or GTD Pro and GTD. Problem for the Aston Martin of Heart of Racing, of one of them at least, coming down to the bus stop. Not a good place to be. Dead stick and has cruised across the entry, and that has caused one of the GT3s. Who was that? Lance Wilsey? Yes, it was. Thank you, Jeremy. I think he was on his outlap as well, was he? No, he's done a couple of laps now. And it is the Heart of Racing number 23 that is, I would say, without motive power, with 11 and a half minutes still to run in this final free practice session. The German-sourced V8 with the twin turbo is not fired up and providing him with forward momentum at all there.
It's not. We had a new fastest time, by the way, just a few minutes ago. Sebastian Bourdais improved on his previous time to a 134.732. That is a good lap time. That's only a tenth of a second away from the fastest lap of the race last year. So that's not hanging around. And yeah, that was a slightly scary moment there for Lance Wilsey, because the Aston Martin was going slowly right where he needed to go, Wilsey, if he was going to make the bus stop. So wisely elected to go straight on and drive through the bus stop and continue. No harm, no foul. Improvement last time around also for Loic Duval. As a red flag comes out in this session for that stricken Aston Martin. The number five Mustang sampling JDC car, second fastest Loic Duval, 135.098. So it's a French 1-2 at the moment. And a few minutes before that, Jose Maria Lopez in the number 48 Ally Cadillac went third fastest.
Just trying to see who it is behind the wheel of that 23 Heart of Racing car. Jeremy has the full timing.
Alex Ribas.
Right, okay. So one
who just set his best lap, actually.
He hasn't run it out of fuel, no. Has he? Tell me, he hasn't run it out of fuel. Alex, who's been getting back in the swing of things since coming back from New Zealand, was out there when the lockdown struck, and having planned to spend a couple or 3 weeks out there, spent the better part of 18 months, I think, as he said to me in Dubai a couple of weeks ago in the pit lane. Heart of Racing picked up a very impressive result there in the GT4 category, second place. He said, listen, if I was going to be stuck anywhere around the world, being stuck in New Zealand was by no means the worst place to be. They did a bit of racing down there, won a national championship, piled up with one of the big drifting stars in that part of the world as well, and raised some money for local hospital charities. So extending the Heart of Racing family, really fabulous social responsibility programmes from the team that wears its heart on its sleeve and on the car and ensures support of Seattle Children's Hospital. Looks like it's going to need a flat tour at the very least. EMR safety team on hand very quickly. All the wheels pointing in the right direction. It rolled there. So it is just a lack of spark, ignition or fire. He's got electrical power for sure.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? Hey, just looking at the timing charts, the number 54 car, well, and the 74, the two out of the LMP3 favourites, if you like. The 74 is the car that won this race last season and the championship.
It's a Riley 54, car, isn't it? Yeah.
That's the Riley car, yeah, Riley Motorsports car. That's only done, well, it hasn't done a full flying lap in this session, which is slightly odd. I didn't think that was planned because they did very few laps yesterday. Yeah, they feel they're in good shape for the race. As I was talking about earlier on, Gar Robinson said they had a problem with that car in the 100-minute qualifying race at the weekend, but they haven't done very many laps since then. I thought they were planning to run this session, so we might try and find out whether there's been a problem for that number 74, Riley Ligier. Or the other car that hasn't been out in this session are, well, two others actually, the number 18 LMP2 car, that is the Era Motorsport entry, hasn't set a lap. And John Bennett in the number 54 Core Autosport Ligier JSP 320, the P3 car, has not been out at all either.
Well, now I wonder if that was a problem with Alex rather than the Aston Martin there, because after some attention from the safety crew, that car has fired up without any external assistance, and Alex is cruising back to the pit lane with 7 minutes to go, just over. So that's an odd one there. I wonder if Alex was having a problem inside the car. He was talking with the door open to one of the Aston Martin, one of the AMR safety crews, not Aston Martin Racing. They were there at the AMR Heart of Racing car, and he managed to get it fired up. So we'll try and follow that down. Let's continue trying to speak to some teams and drivers that we haven't. Joe Bradley is down with the McLaren team. Where are you, Joe?
Yeah, it's the Inception Racing McLaren, and Frederick Schandorf, one of the drivers to drive this car. Have you been out in this session, Frederick?
Yeah, I've just been scrubbing two set of tyres. We're just doing the last preparation before the big one tomorrow.
You don't want to do too much, I would imagine. This is effectively your morning warm-up. So it's just a systems check and getting through the tyre scrubbing. Was that the programme?
Yeah, I mean, for us, it's the first time for all the team and for all the drivers as well. So we need to use the training a bit more properly. So we probably need to run a bit more the system than some of the more experienced teams, but I think we're in a good spot and the car feels good, and the whole team has so far done a great job, and I believe we have a good shot for the race.
Has the team discussed the driver rotation? I'm just thinking, how long will it be before you get back in the car?
No, we haven't really. We have been discussing only, but nothing is confirmed yet, so we don't know who is starting and who is finishing yet.
It's quite an experience for a young driver like yourself to be here. And in such an iconic mark of a car, a McLaren, you know, it must be quite something. Do you sometimes have to nip yourself?
Yeah, it's very different, but I feel very used to this condition with the weather here. It's like same in Denmark now. So it's...
I'm English, I get this as well.
Yes.
Okay, Frederick, I'll leave you to the rest of... I know the session's nearly over. Wish you best of luck. We'll speak to you tomorrow. Good luck.
And while Joe was talking there, the green flag has come out for the last 5.5 minutes of this session. It's a fair point that Joe was making there, Jeremy. There will be drivers, even if they're in the car right now, who for sure will not be back in the car for at least another 25, 26 hours, and possibly a bit more than that. It's a really long gap between this session and when they'll be driving again. I don't know how they get their head around that.
Well, and close to half the field weren't have driven since yesterday. Even then, they only did very few laps.
It's a very good point.
So, because you know, not all of the teams are running all of their drivers in this session now, but by any means. So, yeah, you know, it's a pretty long layoff, and they're going to come back in completely different conditions tomorrow, and have to get themselves up to speed and up to temperature, literally and figuratively, right away.
Yeah, this is. I actually like. I think we've talked about this earlier on, but not everybody's been with us for all the sessions. But I like this session whereby these sessions this week whereby the teams get here and all they have to do is think about their race setup and getting their drivers comfortable. The pressure of having to qualify, which, let's be honest, for a 24-hour race isn't that important. You'd like to think that you were out of the middle of the grid in the early running, but frankly after five laps everybody's going to be mixed up again anyway. So all of that excitement, all of that glory, and some points, of course, for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. That's all done last weekend. So once the guys turned up again this week and went out from Thursday onwards, all of these sessions have been about gathering data and getting a setup for the weekend. And given that we've had the vagaries of weather at this time in Florida, the time that we've lost, is it frustrating? Yes. It would have been more important and even more significant, Jeremy, if we'd had a qualifying session today and that everybody had been trying to set up for that and then, you know, what are we going to do about the race?
Yeah, except they wouldn't have really concentrated on the qualifying. You know, that's your point there, and I think you're absolutely right. But, you know, this way, there's no ambiguity. It's
correct.
It's all just focus on the race. We know that. They know that. Everybody knows that. And, you know, to have that qualifying race last weekend, and it ended up being a really good race, too, with an exciting finish, an almost pass for the lead on the last lap. We weren't expecting such forcefulness from the race that really doesn't mean much, although there were some championship points available because, as from last year, points are awarded after qualifying, whether that's just a regular, normal, single session for all of the other races on the schedule, or as it was last weekend, a 100-minute race. There are also some points available, so we do have championship leaders already in each of the classes who have 35 points to their credit. No changes at the front. It's still the number 01 Cadillac. You know, I'm struggling with that. I see Sebastian Bourdais's name. It was Bourdais who set the time in that car. I equate him with the number 5 car for JDC. Of course, he's not. It's a Ganassi car that he's driving for this season, Sebastian Bourdais, back with Ganassi, having driven with him with the Ford GT program. It's the number 01 Cadillac that Bourdais shares with Renger van der Zander, who's in the car at the moment. Also, Scott Dixon and Alex Palou, two very accomplished drivers. Palou, they're making his debut in sports cars, let alone the Rolex 24 at Daytona.
I think we know he's got a bit of talent, though, Jeremy, don't we?
Yeah.
He's a, as they say over here, he's a quick study. He's a fast learner.
Yeah.
And every time I've seen him or heard him this week, he's had a smile on his face and a smile in his voice. He's clearly having an absolute ball here.
Palou.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, just to win the IndyCar Championship in just the second year was mighty impressive. Just 24 years of age. He is the youngest driver in the DPI class, not the youngest in the race, of course. That's Josh Pearson at age 15. We won't go into that one. Leave it at that. Looking at some other times here. In LMP2, by the way, the best time has been set by the United Autosport car number 22. Phil Hansen, the Englishman, it was who set that time, ahead of the number 8 of Tower Motorsport. Ferdinand Habsburg-Lothringen, let's leave it at Habsburg, was second fastest. Nicolas Lapierre, third fastest in LMP2 for the PR1 Matheson Motorsport team. Number 52, it's the car that won the championship, overall championship, last year. LMP3 for Andretti Autosport, Rasmus Lind, to set the fastest time from Sweden, ahead of the number 6 car of Mjolnir Motorsports. That was Moritz Kranz. And in GTD Pro, Mirko Bertolotti has been fastest at number 63. That's the new team for this season in IMSA WeatherTech, TR3 Racing, the Romanelli brothers. with four factory drivers there in that car, number 63, Mirko Bertolotti in a Lamborghini. He edged ahead of Matteo Cairoli, it was number 79, WeatherTech Porsche, that had been fastest for much of this session. Third fastest is Jack Hawksworth in the Lexus car, number 14. And then fourth fastest GTD cars, quickest of GTD regular, is the number 16 Wright Motorsports Porsche. That time sat very early by Jan Halen.
Just to dive in, it's a discussion going on between Alex and his teammates here.
Check the flag is out, Andrew. He's down at Hart of Racing. Let's find out what went on with that number 23 car.
Just diving quickly. What's the problem there?
Well, we are not 100% sure, but luckily we did a recycle of the system on the ignition side of the car, and it seemed to fix the problem. So we will definitely analyze it with the engineers and make sure everything is perfect for the 24 hours. But very happy so far that it seems to be nothing major.
Great, that's good news. So that's Alex Ribeiras.
But that's a worry, isn't it? An electrical issue. You don't want to be chasing that down between now and tomorrow, particularly when you don't have another session on the track. Next time they fire that car up and run it around the circuit, it will be on its way to the grid.
A couple of things here. The two Acuras remain at the bottom of the chart in DPI, number 10 and number 60, but both of them set their fastest lap in the last couple of minutes, with Alexander Rossi at the wheel of number 10 car and Tom Blomqvist at the wheel of number 60. Respectively, that's the Konica Minolta and Meyer Shank Racing cars, both turning laps in the low 1 minute 36s, fastest time of the session, 134.7. Also, right at the end of the session, Ryan DL did go out in a number 18 car for Era Motorsport to turn a representative lap. He's completed seven laps in this session.
Still a few cars to come to the line. We'll see there those guys come through. Checkered flag has been thrown a couple of minutes ago. Improvements later on for Nico Lapierre in the LMP2. And Harry Tinknell as well. Oh, is that Harry Tinknell? I can't see for the reflection. Which was that at that time there, the 37.6. Who's that? Is that Harry? Yes, it is. So Harry improving with his new cheek pads and his new visors that we lovingly carried across the Atlantic for him in hand luggage. So if he wins this weekend, I'm claiming part of that victory, Jeremy, definitely, for Tinks and the rest of his team. Everybody back into the paddock now, thanks to Joe Bradley and to Andrew Marriott down in the pits. It was Jeremy Shaw alongside me, John Hindhoff, in the Haggerty Global Broadcast booth. Kerry Cobb putting us live to the world out of our main control room in London. And thanks as ever to Tyler Norling and the IMSA technical team on site here for hooking us up and allowing us to talk to you at the circuit. And also to our colleagues at NASCAR Productions in Charlotte. That's it then for the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. The next time we see the cars, they will be out on the grid. They'll be surrounded by fans and will be in the build-up and the Michelin countdown to green for the 60th running of the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona. That's tomorrow, early afternoon. Check the schedule at imsaradio.com for all of the details. But don't go too far away today. Coming up next on RS2 IMSA Radio, find out how the pole positions were won for Michelin Pilot Challenge. And following that, we'll be into race coverage for the BMW M Endurance. This afternoon, it's the four-hour season opener for Michelin Pilot Challenge. I'm John Hindhoff. See you then. Bye-bye.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.